The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Doug Hughes live in studio, hosting Your Money with David Hayes, as Mr. David Hayes is out of town.
Now, though, you started off with good afternoon, and really it's supposed to be good morning because we're only going to be on Saturday morning this week.
Forgive me. Yes, there's something called March Madness going on that for some reason kind of trumps the excitement of another weekly version of Your Money with David Hayes.
We want all of our faithful WGCL listeners to get the full love of the NCAA tournament.
Absolutely.
And it started on Thursday, and Thursday night there's games, so we'll take one Thursday off in the year.
I made a mistake. I was off. I was preparing for good afternoon.
It's all good, man. It's all good. How are you, Doug?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm starting to get a little bit amped up for this eclipse thing. I went to a meeting today where a number of local, it was Downtown Bloomington Inc., has a monthly meeting, and several people were talking about expectations of traffic and places being open versus shut down and all kinds of things. And
it's getting exciting.
It is. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, I don't know that I would ever travel to go experience this, but there's thousands of people that do, and they're all expected to come to Bloomington, Indiana in a week and a half.
I am not aware enough, and I've only read so much, but why here? I mean, of all the different cities it's going to go across, why Bloomington? And someone described it as the 100% totality or something along those lines. But it just seems like there's a lot of attention paid here. And I don't know if it's just because of what we have to offer as a community or a town. I don't know.
I think a little bit of it is we're a destination spot for a lot of people. We have a lot of great things in the community. IU is doing an awesome event with William Shatner and Janelle Monáe and a former NASA astronaut at Memorial Stadium.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of activities and everything if you can get to them. That's going to be what will be determined the day or two ahead before Eclipse Day on April 8th.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've kind of thought to myself, what am I going to do that day, right? Am I just going to stay home? Am I going to go to the office? If I get to the office, can I get home? I don't know.
You might get to the office just in time to leave to then have to come back because you'll be stuck in traffic that long to come back on Tuesday.
Exactly. What do you got for news of the week?
Well, a couple things here. The Justice Department sued Apple Inc. on Thursday for allegedly monopolizing the smartphone market. Apple allegedly restricted developers of apps, products, and services used on the iPhone that could otherwise lower cost for consumers, according to the lawsuit filed in New Jersey. They keep using the word alleged. The alleged monopoly allows Apple to extract more money from consumers, software developers, publishers, and merchants, according to the lawsuit joined by 16 state and district attorneys general. Apple issued a statement saying the lawsuit threatens the company's ability to provide innovative technology and could, quote, set a dangerous precedent. Now, if you're worried about the income for Apple, do not be. They're headquartered in Cupertino, California, generated net revenues last year of $383 billion, a net income of $97 billion, making it the most profitable company in the Fortune 500 and larger than the economies of more than 100 countries, according to the Justice Department. And this week, the Biden administration approved another round of student debt discharge for more than 78,000 borrowers under the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program that impacts teachers, nurses, firefighters, social workers, and other public servants, including the military. The discharged amount totals $5.8 billion in student loan debt. The total debt relief under the PSLF is now $62.5 billion for 871,000 borrowers since October 2021. keep an eye on your email, folks. If you might be a beneficiary of this, the Education Department will start notifying everyone in the next couple of weeks, and potentially more forgiveness coming in the next couple of years as well. But being an election year, we'll see how that shakes out.
Absolutely. So. Well, it's always going to be a hot topic. Education, student loans, debt forgiveness, it's always going to be a hot topic.
I will just be honest and say that I paid mine off early December 2020 before all of this started. And I get a little frustrated when I see this kind of news. But, you know, it benefits a lot of people, and that's everything. I just wish old Jim would have had a bite, too. But anyway,
absolutely. Jim, we're going to have a great show today. We're going to be having Ron Holloway come in next and speak to us about the markets. The markets are hitting all-time highs. Following that, we're going to go through an outline that I do a few times a year on the show, which is just kind of your 2024 guide to retirement. We're going to talk about things that are you have total control over, things you have some control, and things you have no control over. So when we come back, this is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back to Your Money with David Hayes. Doug Hughes live in studio, and we have joining us on the line Rod Holloway. Rod, how are you doing this afternoon?
Hey, doing well on this afternoon.
Good, good. Listen, I know that March Madness has started, and I've said this afternoon, but I'm just trained to do that. It's actually Saturday morning, wink, wink. March Madness is going on, and so we kind of deferred to doing the live show for Thursday night. But things are going well. I know March Madness. Do you have a bracket filled out?
Oh, yeah, most certainly. Participate every year and rarely ever win.
Well, they kept asking me why I didn't do more brackets this year, and I just said to them I just couldn't afford to keep losing money. It's a losing venture for me every single year.
Yeah, it's not an easy one. I saw there was one of the betting companies out there was having a contest of who can get zero picks right. I thought maybe that was a better route to go.
There you go. Well, listen, let's not talk about losing money. Let's talk about gaining money. The markets just seem to be, after what was a little bit of a challenging week last week, the markets just seem to be on a run here. I think we're hitting all-time highs in a couple different categories. What's fueling this right now?
Well, for this week, you had the Fed meeting, and they came out and spoke, and there had been some concerns here recently that you had a few more economists and analysts that were starting to talk about maybe not getting any cuts in 24 because of the inflation staying a little bit sticky here at these levels in the last couple of readings that we've seen. That wasn't the Fed's take at all. Matter of fact, the Fed's dot plots still are signaling that they're likely to do 3 rate cuts this year. So now, of course, that's subject to change. But the odds for a rate cut in June jumped up to, I think, around 80% after the Fed released its notes on Wednesday of this week. So the anticipation is June. There are many speaking that maybe it'll be kind of an every other meeting thing. Because the thing we have to keep in mind, when they do start cutting rates, it's not because they believe the economy needs help. It's just that they believe that they no longer need to be in restrictive territory to tamp down prices or inflation. Therefore, they're going to want to work their way back to neutral and just allow the economy to settle in at the level that makes most sense for the growth and the activity going on in it. So that's appealing to the market because the market has been clamoring for rate cuts for a while now. And matter of fact, at the start of the year, we had talked a lot about the disconnect in which the market was thinking 6 or 7 rate cuts this year, and the Fed was in the 2 to 3 camp. Well, the market so far has had to adjust and slowly move more towards the Fed. The Fed really hadn't changed their tune, which has been a big part of what we've been talking about ever since the Fed started this rate increasing cycle that we've been in now for a couple of years, which is we haven't understood why the market has not believed the Fed was going to do what they said they were going to do. Because for the most part, Chairman Powell has really operated on transparency and wanting to be very clear with what his intentions are. Now, obviously, data points can change, and they may come out and make a change, but they're typically not going to just suddenly show up at a meeting and make a massive change that hadn't already been signaled somewhere along the way as they saw the data points. that's where we're at, is now coming to this. And the market has been wanting these rate cuts. So it's excited to hear that the Fed is still on board, that 2024, the Fed feels most certainly will be the year that we begin to decrease interest rates. So kind of taking off the table what a few economists had been speaking of in the last couple of weeks, which is a possibility for no rate cuts in 24.
Wow. And which sectors have been impacted the most? Is this, you know, is the Magnificent Seven, as we've heard ad nauseum, are they the ones that are pulling it higher? Is this more of a broad market growth?
Yeah, it most certainly has broadened out some. The I think this year they started to try and settle into potentially I think the Fantastic Five or the Fabulous Four, because Tesla's down on the year, Apple's down on the year, so not all of the seven have been working. But as I've said all along, you know, let's understand that while it's not the best market when a few stocks drive the performance, at the same time, don't be fooled into thinking that those stocks are being driven up for no good reason. Those stocks have great earnings and revenue growth underneath them. The biggest thing that you want is to feel as though that you have a healthy market, is that you have more companies participating in the success being derived from the economic growth that we have. So those stocks, mostly, like I said, outside of the couple that I mentioned, are still doing really well. But yeah, it is broadening out. You are getting some other things. Matter of fact, I had a bit of a conference call this morning with one of our internals at First Trust, and that's part of what he was discussing, was some of the strategies that they have that have had really good success last year and good success this year, and have minimal to no exposure to the Magnificent Seven. So there are opportunities outside of that, and we are seeing it. And another area to kind of look, and not that they've been taken off to the races big time, but small caps is a decent area to look at to see, hey, are things broadening out? Are people willing to step outside of this very small, concentrated, large-cap, tech-driven Magnificent Seven, and are they looking for other opportunities, not only in other sectors in the large caps, but then are they starting to look for opportunities in the mid and small? And we've seen a couple of decent little rallies down there in that area. Most certainly haven't played anywhere near the catch-up to the S&P 500 or the triple Qs as far as that type of performance. But when you do start to see the appetite and the buying in there, that is a good sign that the market is broadening out, which we consider to be a more healthy rally. But we're also not saying that those Magnificent Seven run is over and those aren't quality stocks growing for a good reason.
Absolutely. One last thing before we let you go, Rod. 2022, we saw the bond bubble burst. 2023 was to be the year of the bond, and they had some recovery along the way. What has 2024 so far provided for fixed income and this news of rate cuts? What is fixed income doing this year? There's been so much conversation the last 2 years. What is it looking like so far this year?
Sure. Now, from a index perspective, the ag, the Barclays ag, you know, I don't really know. I don't follow the ag closely. And part of that is because the bulk of our fixed income is there to meet a purpose for that specific client, and the ag rarely meets that purpose. Outside of that, what I can tell you is probably volatility, you know, because we've seen a run up to around 5% on that 10-year treasury, all the way back down to a little bit under 4%, and then a rally back up and settling in somewhere in the mid to low fours as to kind of where you've been at here recently. Matter of fact, right now you're at right around 4.25% on that 10-year. So I think outside of the volatility in which we've seen some of these rapid spikes in the interest rates and then declines in the interest rate is, hey, for the first time in a long, long, long time, savers are getting paid for saving. So there are quality interest coupons out there on bonds that you can go out and buy and make some decent money versus where we're at for the zero federal funds rate for so long, in which it was almost impossible to get solid rates. Even if you went way out onto the curve, you still weren't getting much more than 2 or 3%, and you were getting locked in for 15 or 20 years at that low interest rate. You know, that's not necessarily a positive because that's barely going to beat inflation, based on historical inflation, of course, not the inflation that we've had here in the last few years.
Absolutely. Well, Rod, thank you so much for taking time and calling us, and hope you have a great March Madness first round, and that you come through this unscathed, and maybe every one of your picks will be completely right.
I appreciate the vote of confidence, Doug, and I hope you have a wonderful show.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We're going to take a break. This is Your Money with David Hayes.
Welcome back, everybody, to Your Money with David Hayes, Jim Inman, and Doug Hughes on your Saturday morning. Don't forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can head over to WGCLradio.com and catch the replay on there as well. Show today brought to you by Like Law Group and attorney Lance Like. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. You can call Lance Like at the Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. So, Doug, when you were working on this today's show and everything, and I was looking at the material and whatnot, you were talking about control, and I know how much of a Janet Jackson fan you are and her song from, I don't know, whatever, 87 kind of thing and so on. But that,
Control?
Control, yes. So
where
are we starting at? Are we starting with everything you can control, kind of control, or not control at all?
You know, I wish that that we had everyone's question answered in the short time that we have for this program. But I do this every year, Jim. There's a group that puts out a program called Guide to Retirement, and it just kind of is some general reminders about what's going on and things like that. And so I use an outline a few times a year. I confess, when I come to do the radio show, I always think, well, can I add more to this kind of outline? Because it is a very valuable outline. And it covers, you know, three basic things. There are some things that we have total control over, some things that we have some control over, and there are other things that are just out of our control.
Right.
And so we're going to start today just with some of the things that we have control over. And let me say it like this. It's all objective, right? I mean, everyone can say this went wrong or that went wrong, but there are some things that you have control over. One of them is when it comes to retirement planning, and, you know, we just got through teaching the class, and in the first segment we talk about we talk about this particular idea of location. Put your 401k statement away, put your assets away for just a moment, and just start thinking about where you're going to live when you retire. What does the retirement home look like? Is it going to require a downsizing? Is it going to require an upsizing? Is it going to require having stairs or not having stairs? So that's the practical side. Do you want to have less yard work? Do you enjoy yard work? How long do you want to do yard work? All of these things become very significant questions when you're just thinking about that idea alone. Oftentimes we buy a house, we think we're just going to have it, we're going to keep it, and eventually one day we'll sell it. Typically that happens, but it is one of the bigger decisions out there. And along with that, people ask the question, should I be paying off my mortgage early? Should I retire before my mortgage is paid? And then, you know, there's a lot of different levels to this, but I think a good analysis of whether you're ready to retire or not really begins with what home looks like. What does the future look like in your home? And are you going to need to travel to see kids, or are you going to be able to stay home to see kids? What all rolls into that? So one of the things I think you have control over is where you're going to live in retirement. And I think that's a pretty significant thing to establish with your significant other as to what that particular sleeve looks like.
And you're not considering a retirement living situation, meaning like assisted living or something like that.
Exactly.
That's a separate issue itself.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when we say retirement home, oftentimes that's what we think of. What I'm speaking of is just the house you're going to live in for the first 5, 10, 15, 20 years of your retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I always say to clients too is, you know, 3 years before you retire, maybe five, you need to walk around your house with a blank sheet of paper and write down everything that you assume is going to need to be replaced within the first 5 years of your retirement. Example, if you have an old washer and dryer, they're going to need replaced. If you have a roof, it's going to need replaced. If you have a refrigerator, you need just got the heating and air. It all kind of comes in with the territory. If it's 10 or 15 years old, you're going to be replacing that in the first part of retirement. And a lot of times when people have to do that, they have to take extra extra distributions out of their retirement account. And that can sometimes derail, you know, your plan 3 to 5 years down the road. So these are just things that I think you have control over, and I think it's something to spend some time on. And if anyone has any questions about that, they can feel free to give us a call. The next thing you have control over is asset allocation. You can determine, do you want to be a growth investor, a growth and income investor? Do you want to be a capital preservation, meaning you don't ever want to see any fluctuation in your accounts at all? You want those accounts to stay steady the entire time that you're retired and just live on the dividends and interest? Or do you want to continue to have market ups and downs? Once you move out of your retirement accounts at work, the entire investing world is open to you. And so you could determine if you still want to be in a 60-40 mix, or if you still want to have, you know, Rod doing individual stocks and mutual funds and managing money through the market cycles. Mm-hmm. And that's just something I think that some people become a little bit more aware of when they're not adding money anymore. There's the new money that's coming in now is your Social Security pension and what is coming from their investments.
And I spoke with someone who was referred to our office this week about Social Security because she's looking to retire potentially before the end of this year and was looking at her Social Security estimate and talking with a coworker who said, that can't be right. And like they felt like there was a significant discrepancy. So mm-hmm. one of those, everybody's case is different,
right?
But you better check, make sure that you've got your ducks in a row before you file and everything.
I recommend everyone when it comes to their income allocation, where the money's going to come from, the new money that's coming in every month, make sure you know those sources well. And this is a side note to asset allocation location, but I always recommend people sit down before 3-5 years before they retire. What is going to be their biggest source of retirement income? Is that income protected? Is it at the whims of the market? What is their biggest source of income? What is that source going to be? And what is that income going to look? Forget what returns are. What is that income going to look like?
Okay.
And then one other thing, or a couple other things, saving and spending. And this is a bit objective because, you know, things come up that you can't avoid spending money on. Mm-hmm. However, if you are some years out from retirement and you have some credit card debt, probably a good thing to start changing some of your spending and getting some of your debts paid off. You don't want to go into retirement with debt. And so if you can control that, which you should be able to have control of that, it may sacrifice, it may be painful, it may not be fun, but you don't want to go into retirement with credit card debt, or you don't want to go into retirement with really much debt. So the idea here is that if you can control those spending and those spending patterns at an earlier age, you're going to be able to set free from debt and you're going to be able to retire with, you know, as little outflow going to those kind of things mm-hmm. as possible. So the other thing is, and I hate to say this, Jim, it's a bad word for a lot of people, but a budget. And, you know, when we talk about budget, we oftentimes think of young marrieds in their 20s and 30s and things like that. But after 25 years of managing retirement income and retirement portfolios for people, I will tell you that people who have a budget in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, it just works out better for them than those who don't. So budgeting is not something that just goes away because you hit a magical age. It's something that needs to be always.
You know, before we take a break, you talked about you know, not going into retirement with any debt and the home situation. And so many people are being forced into renting because of the yes. housing shortages and whatnot. It'll be interesting to see who's in our seats in 25, 30 years and how that picture changes in, you know, another generation or so for those who struggle to own a home just because of the limitations and the high cost and everything. If there's a new way of working things around 30 years from now with retirement planning.
Absolutely. It'll be very interesting. So things, just a few things you have total control over: location, your Social Security planning. And we'll mm-hmm. talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but saving and spending, I think are two things. When I talk about savings is you can control if you're putting in 10, 15, or 20% of your retirement account. And when you're in your 50s and 60s, you know that number, you know that you're going to be able to do that or not. So all right, we're going to take a break, Jim, when we come back, we're going to talk about the things you have some control over.
All righty. You're listening to Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back once again to Your Money with David Hayes on a Saturday morning. This show is brought to you by Kenny Bland Auctions, your full-service auction service. They offer pre-planning, the sale of your estate or real estate. You can visit them online at kennyblandauctions.com. So we talked about total control in the last segment. So now some control.
Well, let's talk about longevity.
Okay.
It's a big topic that people tend to forget about in retirement planning is how long they're going to live. We have a couple of nice slogans to go by, slogo, no go, meaning the first 10 years you live it up in retirement, the second 10 you take it easy, and the last 10 you kind of, you know, aren't spending as much. So, you know, there's ways to manage that. But the truth is, people are living longer in America. If you take away just a couple of different data points that would be unfortunate, like suicide and drunk driving, you take those two data points out, then people are living longer in America. And they're living more fulfilled lives. They're doing more travel. That's why you see all the cruise lines with such great commercials, and you see such great things going on. So people are living longer, more fulfilled, and they're spending more money. So that's one side. The other side of that is you can also be very ill and expensive illnesses for long periods of time. And so longevity is becoming a bigger and bigger question mark when it comes to overall retirement planning. And what control do we have over longevity? Well, that may be a philosophical or religious debate, but if you are doing the things necessary to keep your body in good shape, to keep your mind in good shape, and to keep going forward, you should be able to enjoy a reasonably long life in America. And so you have some control. That control is this. Are you taking care of your body? Are you making sure that you are reducing stress? Are you making sure you're availing yourself to what you want to do, to your dreams, and to pursue those things? And so longevity becomes not totally in your control, but if you have illnesses, if you have sicknesses, and you're not taking care of yourself, we kind of know what's going to happen. If you are taking care of yourself, you are able to do that. So we always recommend a little bit of a health check with people. Just kind of do some data points, not just about how the markets are doing, but do some data points about what your health is like. Learn about your family history and make a plan, your financial plan, according to reasonable longevity. And that's probably the path you're going to go down in America today. And you need to be aware of that. And the better you can do for yourself, the better you will do otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, too, are the things that you do have some control over is your employment earnings. Now, I know that every one of us thinks that we're just going to have an income that goes up and up and up and up and up forever. So that could be true, and in a lot of places that is. But I'll tell you something that I've come across in the last couple of years, certainly after the pandemic, is people who get to an age in their 50s, mid-50s, maybe 60s, and they just don't want to pursue the next promotion anymore. They just don't want to take on the extra education or the extra degree. They just want, you know, they kind of are like, listen, it could be really hard to do all that, and I'm doing okay where I'm at right now. And so this ambition when you're younger to always be striving, always be growing, always be doing, always be increasing my income and things of that nature, you do have some control about that.
I saw an article yesterday that relates to what you're talking about in a little bit different way, how there are things, and if I think this is the right term, dry promotions, where basically you get an enhanced title, you get a higher recognition and whatnot, but you don't get an extra penny.
Yes.
They're not doing a financial benefit for you, but you're given more
benefit.
Recognition and responsibility kind of thing. And
yes,
people don't like that.
No, they don't. We all want more money. The question becomes, do we want to pursue what's going to be necessary to move us to the next level in
right.
income?
Yeah.
And there are people that I'm running into these days who just, they have control of it. They could, but they're just kind of like, I don't know that I want to do that. The other thing is you can always change jobs. You know, if you've had enough, you've hit a ceiling and you don't want to go any further, you can change jobs. You can pursue a higher income. However, you can also pursue a lower income with less work and less stress and less responsibility.
And potentially more internal happiness.
Exactly.
Honestly.
Right. Exactly. And we noticed this a lot in coming out of the pandemic. People, their 401ks were at the highest point they'd been in 2021. and people just decided they were going to exchange time for money. I mean, I can work a couple more years, put some more money in my retirement accounts. I can have some more cash flow. But in reality, I just like to retire. I would value time more than I would value money. So that is something, again, Jim, that people have some control over. And I think when we're at all-time highs in the markets, 401k balances, we're personally doing better than we've ever done before. We're looking at these things and saying, okay, I can make this decision, or I can just make the decision not to make this decision. And so people have some control over that. Mm-hmm. The other thing is just full-out retirement. I mean, you have some control of when you want to retire. There are a lot of careers that will let you keep going on. And if you say, hey, at age 65, I'm out, that's the date, you work toward it, you're out. And if the markets are cooperative and your plan has come to place, that's great. But you do have some control to say, hey, I want to do this. I want to make significant lifestyle changes, and I want to just exit the workforce at 62 or 65 or 67. I just don't want to go anymore.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, and I think that a lot of people, I don't want to sound like an old man, get off my lawn, but there are people who in a younger generation kind of expect that to happen, that they won't have to work until full retirement age, or that when they get to a certain point, they'll already be set because they've done all these different things. And there may be some harsh realities for some folks out there to see how retirement really is and how much you have to sock away sooner than later kind of thing to have those dreams happen and be able to do the things that you want to do when you get to that point.
Exactly. And so you do have some control on your earnings. Are you going to pursue another degree or another promotion to earn more money?
Mm-hmm.
You do have some control on what you want your employment to be like. Maybe you don't mind staying where you're at, right?
Yeah.
But then the next thing is duration, how long you want to work. You have a bit of control about that. And as we look, you know, there are people who have made good decisions with that, and there are people who made bad decisions with that. And so we always say to people that there is no right one way to do this or not. Just make sure you measured it out all the way through. Again, considering, for example, longevity. What does the longevity look like? How are you managing your longevity? What does, you know, your earnings and portfolio potential look like 5, 10, 15 years from now? And lastly, how long do you really want this to go? So you have some control over those things.
And one other thing before we take a break, you know, talking about the longevity and working and whatnot, working doesn't always have to be in the field of which you have the most experience as well. You may find a time in your life where you're like, I'm done being XYZ and I want to try ABC. And our friend Jerry Sudler, co-author of Don't Retire, Rewire, has been on the show several times, has talked about, you know, finding your drivers, finding the ways of going out and not only getting that internal benefit, but being beneficial to another organization based on your experience that you may have been in banking and now you're going to be in car sales. I mean, I don't know, but you know, something completely different and like, wow, you are a great fit for this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Don't just think that once your career is chosen in college, this is where you're going to be the rest of your life.
And how many times, Jim, have we run across people that just isn't the case? How many of us in this room?
I'm ready to say, like, I'm my hands up. Yes, let's be honest.
So. Absolutely. All right, we're going to take a break. Yep. We'll be back with Your Money with David Hayes.
Welcome back, everybody, to Your Money with David Hayes, Jim Inman, and Doug Hughes joining you on a Saturday morning. We were preempted Thursday night because of NCAA basketball here on WGCL. So one Thursday a year, we take the night off, and that's quite all right. But glad to have a new show for you and everything. Next week on the program, David will be back. I know that we've got a Q&A show coming up in a couple of weeks. So if you're interested in a Q&A show and have some questions, send us an email, cfc@cfci.us, and we'll take care of it from there. So we talked about total control. We talked about some control. So now no control, Doug.
Out of control.
Out of control.
Out of control.
How we're acting on this show today.
I like how you phrase that, no control, Doug. Was that a... Was that a subliminal message there?
No.
Let's talk about a few things that are just out of our control, Jim. One is taxes.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, the government sets taxes and what those tax rates are going to be on a modified adjusted gross income level. And so we sit in a situation where we do not know what taxes are going to be from year to year, decade to decade. And so we, for many years, have been putting money into tax-deferred 401ks, for example, with the idea that when we retire, we'll be in a lower tax bracket. Well, maybe, maybe not. But we don't totally control taxes. The government controls taxes. And taxes come in all different shapes, sizes, and forms. So it's out of your control what the government does with taxes. What is in your control is how you set your portfolio up to deal with unknown taxes. And I know that on the show, David has talked for many years now about Roth conversions mm-hmm. and the tax time frame that's coming up, 12/31 of 2025, when the current tax law is sunset. You can have control over some of the portfolio that you have for tax purposes. So you, for example, you might have a brokerage account that pays you dividends and capital gains, not income tax. Or you may have Roth IRAs that pay tax-free distributions along with your traditional money that has taxable distributions. So what we say to people is while taxes are out of our control, we can vote, we can grimace, we can huff, we can puff, we can do whatever we want. But the reality is we don't have control of taxes. We can have control of our taxable portfolio and our taxable estate and net worth. And so that is something that we always like to remind people of, is that taxing or tax is such a big part of your overall financial plan that you have to be very cognizant of what's going on.
And you know taxes are going down in the future, right?
Oh, yes, I guarantee that.
Do you hear the sarcasm there, listeners?
Yeah, absolutely, but, yeah.
Yes.
Another thing that is out of your control is benefit possibility. And I'm reminded when our friend Julian Albertini was on, he is from France, and he had come last April to do a show, a program with some investors, and he was on our show talking about what we tend to forget about is in March and April of 2023, the French government changed their benefits to the French people, and it caused riots in the street, havoc. I mean, it was absolute chaos. And one of the things, being from France, and he understands this, knows this, his family is there, is that once policy is taken back, it's hard to ever get back. And the anxiety and the angst that comes with that. Now, I'm not in any way predicting that we're going to have policy or benefits taken away from us, but we wouldn't be the first country in the world to have ever had to change benefits to people if we do need to start shoring up for some of our debt and different things like that. We're not predicting this. I'm just saying that it's not out of the realm of possibility. It's not likely, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. Another thing is we think to the people who worked at corporations who had benefits that were supposedly guaranteed for life, and the company they worked for changed hands two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
When that happened, guess what they lost? The life insurance policies that were guaranteed and were never going to go away. So benefits can change on you, and that is out of your control. So how, again, do you control that? Well, just like with your taxes, you have a portion of your money, your portfolio, that you need based on a no-tax basis. Look at your benefits and make sure you have some coverages there to cover the things that could possibly be out of your control. The next thing, and I'll cover this relatively briefly as we're coming up on time here, is that market returns. Everyone's an expert. Everyone has an opinion. The market's going up. The market's going down. Most economists are wrong when they predict markets most of the time. So if we know that most of the experts aren't right most of the time, who are we to think we know exactly what the market's going to do? Nobody knows exactly what the market's going to do. The crystal ball is always cloudy. So when you cannot have control of what the market does on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, decade-wise return, you have to understand the role of an unpredictable market that you can't control in your life. And so if you have anxiety and angst and it bothers you, you need to address that and understand that you own what you own. And how can you better put a portfolio together for yourself? If, on the other hand, you don't mind the market being all over the place, you're okay with risk, and it, you know, it's out of your control, and you can wake up one day and your statement looks like this, and a week later it looks like that, then in the long run, you should be much better off. But you are out of control. That the only way to bring control back to the markets is to use things like buffers, those things which have, you know, ceilings and floors on the upside, the downside, or put a portion of your money in something that isn't so sensitive to the market outcomes. And so when we think about things that are out of our control, I don't know what the next headline is going to be, Jim. I don't know if it's going to be planes going into buildings or Enron or mortgage meltdowns from the greatest institutions in the world or a global pandemic. But we know at some point something's going to come up and there will be a title on that article. We don't know what it's going to be, but we know when that happens, the market gets really wonky. And so if you can't be invested through times like that, then you need to do a reassessment of your asset allocation and your portfolio and recognize that when we think about things that are out of our control, it truly is market returns.
You know, it is kind of humbling. You've said many times over the years about when do you start saving for your next set of tires,
right?
As soon as you buy your next set of tires. And I came home yesterday to my stove singing to me. And a stove shouldn't do that.
No.
But by the same token, I kind of have paid attention over the years and have the foresight to prepare for a minor thing like that.
Yes.
Not that it's that minor, but still, you know,
sure.
Things happen. And if you're in a position where a $500 purchase, a need or whatever is going to be a major problem for you, it may be time to look at a bigger picture thing, what you can do for yourself, for your family.
Absolutely.
And not everybody has the ability to do that. I'm not knocking anybody on the economic scale at all. It's just
right.
One of those things where these things do come up.
You know, I was riding on a train in London last year. And as the train went by, I saw a billboard. And the billboard said, for $50 a month, £50 a month, you can open up a savings account for your retirement. And it was just the same story there as it is here. It's the same story anywhere. Just saving a certain amount of money every single time you get paid just does begin to create a bit of wealth and security. We need to take a break.
Let's take a break. You're listening to Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back once again to Your Money with David Hayes. Thanks so much for joining us here this week. David will be back in the studio next week. Not sure what he's got planned for the program, but we'll find out. And of course, if you go to our website, cfci.us, there's a contact us. You can get on that and you can join our email list. We send out an email every Thursday of what's coming up on the radio show and a couple other things. So keep you in the loop there, as well as our Facebook profile as well.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Jim, it's just there's so much you could cover in this, so much detail. Mm-hmm. And again, once or twice this year, I'll go through the same outline. But folks, just remember, there's some things that you can control in financial planning.
Yep.
Some things you have some control over, some things you have no control. But a good financial plan will consolidate and coordinate all those things and answer those questions.
A lot
for
of
you.
These things, too, kind of fit in. We're going to be doing something with the Bloomington Chamber of Commerce in May for their Young Professionals Program, kind of a investment 101 kind of thing. And there's a lot of topics in here that apply to those 20-somethings and 30-somethings who are getting started and everything. And, you know, it's a different world when you and I were 20s and 30s, that's for sure. And that sounds, again, very old man, get off my lawn, but it is. And
it is.
The forward thinking that is needed to be prepared for the cost of retirement for them, you better start considering it now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Jim, thank you for being on the program today.
No problem, sir. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, good weekend planned?
What do I have? I am actually, I'm going to go start getting prepared for the eclipse.
Oh, wow.
I would rather get some stuff because my plan is to come home the Friday before and not leave until after the eclipse happens.
Okay.
So I'm going to get a gas can filled because there's concern that all the gas stations will get emptied out because so many travelers and everything. So I'm going to do that. Go get a couple things at the grocery store before prices potentially could possibly go up, just in case. And that's my excitement
All right.
that I know of. So what about you? Anything fun?
nothing that I know of, may go up and have lunch with my father tomorrow.
Nice.
Saturday. Today. Today. Forgive us, folks.
It's all good. It's all good. We're doing our regular Thursday on a Saturday kind of thing. So, yes. But again, if you miss any part of the show, head over to WGCLradio.com and click on the Your Money link and tune in there. And if you miss any other shows as well, you can hit that. And we'll take a listen next week.
All right.
All right. Everybody have a great weekend and keep your dial tuned into WGCL as well for all of the NCAA tournament action.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.